And now, this. That, it goes without saying, was the sound of a camel or two. Camels are prized possessions on the Arabian Peninsula, and camel racing is an ancient pastime there. New York Times reporter Sam Borden recently caught a few races while in the United Arab Emirates, and he saw firsthand a unique development in the evolution of camel racing.
It's, you know, been a part of the Arabian culture for, you know, centuries. And in the last 30, 40 years, it became significantly more popular as sort of a formalized sport in the United Arab Emirates. They built, you know, racetracks with grandstands and a lot of the things you might see at a horse racing track in America. But in the beginning, they were using oftentimes children from other countries like Pakistan or Sudan, as young as even 2 and 3 years old, to be the jockeys on the camels because they were so light. And obviously, from a human rights perspective, it was terrible. And about 10 years ago, the United Arab Emirates banned children from being used as jockeys, finally. And they developed a robot. They're using these tiny robots that are fashioned from pretty much anything you could find in a hardware store, a drill, a car remote entry clicker, and a long piece of plastic to be a whip. And the whole thing ends up costing a couple $100s and rides atop the camel and looks, you know, they put it in silks so it looks like a jockey, but it's just basically some stuff from your garage sending this camel around the track.
We're using this term robot. I'm not sure I would call it a robot. It's a drill, essentially, right? It's DeWalt drills on top of camels, and it's just kind of a drill with the front spinning around and whacking the camel.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that makes people want to use the robot label is that they also attach like a walkie-talkie to it so that, you know, it has a voice in that, you know, the owner of each camel will ride along the side of the track in a car and can talk to the camel. They make a sound that the camel can recognize so that it will be, you know, inspired to run faster. So they have the button from the keyless entry clicker to do the whip and also a walkie-talkie that they can talk to the camel. And so, yeah, it's not a robot like C-3PO or anything. But it has sort of that mechanical, you know, look to it.
So give us a little taste, if you would, of what the trainers sound like.
I was sort of thinking they might actually speak, like, you know, go faster. But as it turned out, they really was more like a sound, like, or like, you know, that sort of thing. And they said that it was the same sound they make when they're, you know, walking the camel to get food or waking it up. Like, it's just like a comfort sound so that they know that someone they know is nearby, even if they're actually not.
I think in the West, we often think of camels, if we ever think of camels, as slightly comical, the whole hump thing and all that. But this is really serious business. So paint a picture for us, if you would, of what the camel races are like.
At the track, there are not a lot of fans usually. It's usually people that are just involved in the sport itself, trainers or owners. But the ratings on television are quite high. You know, when you talk about sports in that part of the world, especially in Dubai or Qatar, where they've really been making a concerted effort over the past few years to become more of a sporting destination for Western sports. Qatar is hosting the World Cup in 2022. A lot of it is based around the idea that they want outsiders to come and be a part of their sporting culture. Camel racing is, in a lot of ways, one of the few sort of still only for the Emiratis, only for the people in the Arabian region. It's not a sport where you see a lot of expat owners in terms of running camels.
What did you think about it, seeing it? I mean, did you get caught up in it at all?
I wasn't there on a day when it was the Kentucky Derby, you know what I mean? I was there on a day that was like a regular day of racing. And so if you've ever gone to a horse track on a regular day of racing, it's low-key, race-after-race kind of experience, and there's not a big crowd. And that's what this was. I mean, the biggest difference was that the entire thing happened between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. because, you know, it gets so hot there that the races are generally scheduled very early, like right after sunrise.
And finally, another difference is what happens to the top three finishers. There's a really nice tradition that you talk about. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So we were walking past the finish area, and all of a sudden I saw this guy mixing like water with this powder. His whole white, you know, robe is covered in sort of yellow stains. And I was like, what is happening here? And they would lead the camels over right as soon as they finished, you know, the race, come across the finish line, and then slap this, you know, saffron sort of glaze all over their head and neck. And I was told that it's, you know, a very sacred spice in Arabian culture, and it's a way to honor the camel. Every race, these three camels would lead over, and, you know, this guy would mix up these vat of sort of orange and yellow goop, and then slap it all over the camel's neck and head and, you know, sort of upper body. And then, you know, they would lead them away and they go back to eat and go to sleep.
Sam Borden, sports reporter for The New York Times, not yet a convert to camel racing. Sam, thank
you
so much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't say that I'm going to watch it on TV, you know, every night or anything. But, you know, sports is so representative of culture in a lot of ways, certainly American culture, that it was interesting to see what ways it represents Arabian culture.
Sam, thanks a lot.
Thanks very much for having me.